This morning we are continuing our series titled Life with One Another, and we come to the point where we are talking about serving one another. And I want to break this down for all of us and just give us one point here this morning of how we can begin to more fully and more effectively serve one another. The story is told of Unamuno, the Spanish philosopher, and he tells about the Roman aqueduct at Segovia in his native Spain. It was built in 109 AD, and for 1,800 years it carried cool water from the mountains to the hot and thirsty city. Nearly 60 generations of people drank from its flow. Then came another generation, a recent one, who said, "This aqueduct is so great a marvel that it ought to be preserved for our children as a museum piece. We shall relieve it of its centuries-long labor." They did. They laid modern iron pipes. They gave the ancient bricks and mortar a reverent rest, and the aqueduct began to fall apart. The sun beating on the dry mortar caused it to crumble, and the bricks and stones sagged and threatened to fall. What ages of service could not destroy, idleness disintegrated it. You know, I think our life is a lot like that. We sometimes think and we grow weary and tired and we grow wearisome about, I can't do anymore, I can't go any more places. And before you begin to think, oh no, here's another message about I can't do everything and you got to do more and more and more, our text this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want to boil this down. We're going to be looking at verses 7 through 11. And it seems to me that the tendency in our life is that we all want to grow up real quick. When we're young kids, we want to be adults. And then yet when we become adults, we want to be kids again. And we translate that into our Christian journey, into our journey of faith. And I'll explain to you what I mean here and shortly. So our verses 7 through 11 in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter, he writes, he says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And then verse 11. "If anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let them do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." It was common thought in Peter's day that Jesus would return and his return would be quickly, and there are many people in our world that still ascribe to that thought process. And so the Apostle Peter is seeking to allow his readers to have peace and confidence, to have the feeling of it being well with their soul. And so he begins to lay out and list these things of what they need to be about. And he doesn't start right about going on and doing this or going there and doing that. It's interesting to me that he begins and he says, "Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers." I want that to sink in. Be serious. Be diligent. Be disciplined in your prayers. You see, sometimes even in our prayer life, we pray for lists and we pray for things and we pray for God to impact this world, but we miss what God really wants to do. And friends, what God wants to do is he wants to change your heart and my heart. Then Peter, he begins to lay out and say, okay, once you have been serious and diligent and disciplined in your prayers and God has changed your heart, then he says, then be fervent in love. And then, you see, friends, when our hearts are changed, then we can be fervent in love because love will cover a multitude of sins. And too often times in the Christian community, in the community of the brothers and sisters in Christ, we hear prayer requests, and then we go around and we speak about those prayer requests. And friends, when God has changed our heart, Jesus has said the overflow of the heart will come out the mouth. And when we foundationally give our spiritual lives and walk and journey the foundation of prayer, then we will see how God wants us to love other people. I don't know about you, but in my life, my schedule can get incredibly busy. and it can get incredibly busy overnight. I mean, like the tyranny of the urgent, right? I mean, if anyone knows what I'm talking about there, there's more things to do than hours in the day. But there's this crazy thing that happens. If I get up and if I spend time in prayer, the foundational, the bedrock of our journey with Christ, and if I spend that time with our Lord Jesus Christ, then He gives me those things that are important. He shows me how I am to be fervent in love and without going around back, because when we go around back, we are exposing the sins, we're exposing the failures and the faults of those people. And friends, if you truly want to serve one another, you begin with the bedrock. You begin with prayer. You pray for one another, and that's why Jesus said, pray for your enemies and love those who persecute you. He is saying, may your heart be changed so that you can love people the way that God loves them, and God wants you and me to love people with His love and to be fervent in that love. And that's how love will cover over a multitude of sins. And then when we spend that time in prayer, we will know those actions, because the next step that Peter says is to be hospitable to one another without grumbling. All throughout this passage, he's talking about our speech. He's indicating about how we talk, how we speak about things, how we speak about people, and he's talking about the condition of our heart. And friends, our heart is changed when we pray. So I want to boil it down and make it real simple. If you truly want to serve one another, you begin by praying. Now, sometimes, many times, even in our urgent deadline-focused society, we think, well, I don't have enough time to pray. And I'll challenge you on this, too. If you're driving to work, you say, hey, I can't pray for 5, 10, 15 minutes. That's perfectly okay. You just pull up to a stoplight and you say, I'm going to pray this whole stoplight. And you start there. For years, my quiet time, my devotional life, was driving to and from work. There is no shame in that, friends. You turn off the radio and you say, okay, Lord, this is my time with you, Jesus, and you begin to pray, and you begin to worship, and there is no shame in that at all. It's called redeeming the time. But then, I guarantee you, when you get to work, you will have a love filled in your heart. And I know I just said an absolute statement, I guarantee. But if your heart is right and you are seeking the Lord and He changes your heart, you will have His love. There's no doubt in my mind. I've seen it time and time and time and time again. It's interesting to me, and it's very unreal in my mind that the Apostle Peter, he doesn't say, well, you take this gift and use it there, and you have this gift and you use it there. For all my life, I have taken spiritual gift inventories, and not one of them have ever told me, you start with prayer, because it doesn't matter, friends. Now, Peter does get to that later on in verses 10 and 11, and he addresses that. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter what gifts we've been given from the Lord. If we don't have the foundational bedrock of prayer, if our hearts are wrong, it matters not what God has gifted us with. Because if you're like me, you're going to use it wrong. And you're not going to use it for God's glory. You're going to have people look to you. And it's not going to be praising and honoring to God, is what Peter says in verse 11. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, friends, if we're going to love one another, to serve one another, it's very difficult to love one another if we're grumbling about one another. It's very hard to do that. And in order to not do that, our hearts need to be changed. And they need to be changed in prayer. And then Peter, he goes on, he says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And there again, and I can confess time and time again in my life, years ago, I have been asked by the Lord to give something or to be hospitable to someone, and yet in my heart wasn't right. And because my heart wasn't right, I began to grumble. I began to speak negatively about situations. I don't have time to do that. I don't have the ability to do that. I can't do that. And a funny thing happens. When you and I bow our heads in our hearts and we begin where the foundation is in prayer and our hearts are changed to reflect the heart of Christ, then all of a sudden it's as if we have this strength and this energy and we have this perspective because we have been changed. And friends, so maybe about prayer, is more about you and me than it is about our world. Maybe praying is more about the condition of our heart than it is about those that we pray for. Because when our hearts are right, we will be fervent in love, and we will love the brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will cover a multitude of sins, and we won't seek to share that behind their backs, and we will be hospitable without grumbling. And then notice, these are like stair steps. These are like building blocks for a Christian journey. Prayer is foundational. Love is above prayer, and being hospitable is above that. And then notice where he goes with the gifts. And this is like a kid wanting to be grown up before they're a grown up. And we always emphasize and focus on the spiritual gifts, and we de-emphasize prayer, and we de-emphasize love. In verse 10, Peter says, as each one has received a gift, meaning every single one of you has been given a gift. We've all been given a gift. But the trouble is, if we're not plugged in and in tune with the Lord Christ, we are not going to be aware of the gifts that he's given to us. And then Peter says, take that gift. Take what God has given to you and to serve one another and be a good steward in the utilization of that gift. And verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone serves, let them do it as with the ability which God supplies. I don't know about you, but the more that I journey with Christ in this relationship with my Savior, the more I'm convinced that the key to living a victorious Christian life, it exists in the amount of time that I spend in prayer. I'll just boil it down right there for you. If you truly want to serve one another, you pray. Pray. Because when you pray, your heart is changed. My heart is changed. And when you pray, and when I pray, we have the love of Christ flowing in us and through us, and we will fervently love others with the love of God. And when we pray, we are more hospitable to other people. And when we pray, we are allowing God to allow us to understand the gifts that he's given to us to use for him. My friends, don't focus on the love. Don't focus on the hospitality. Don't focus on the gifts. Focus on prayer. Focus on the one whom you are praying to. Focus on Christ your King, the Lord Jesus your Savior. And when you pray, everything else will fall into place. So serving one another, I'm going to boil it down to one phrase. When you serve, if you truly earnestly want to serve one another, you pray. May you and may I this week, may we embrace this challenge, and may we pray, and may our doing not be about doing things, but may it be about the heart of God and the love of Christ, and may it be about a reflection of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. So friends, pray. Pray. Pray for one another. Pray for this church family. Pray for the community, and let the Lord God change your heart to reflect the heart of his. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Jesus, for how you yourself, you would break away early in the morning, and you, Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, God incarnate, you would pray. May we take a page from the book of your life, Christ. May we learn exactly what you want us to learn, and may we accept the challenge to pray, and may we realize that sometimes that'll be the hardest thing that we will ever do. But Lord, we pray that you would change us when we seek you. We pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would mold us and make us and shape us and form us into your likeness, that our love would be reflective of you, that our hospitality would be worthy of your kingdom, and that the gifts that you bless us with would be ministered in your glory. Father, may we understand the basis for everything that we do is to pray. The basis to serve one another is to pray. And we thank you, Jesus, for this challenge. We bless you and we honor you. In the wonderful name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Before we close here this morning, I don't know about you, but there have been times in my journey where I have literally been unable to pray on my own. And, you know, the Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. There have been times where I've been unable to utter that. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Patrick, we're going to sing that again. And there's people here that are willing to pray with the people that are here. And please, don't let this day go by. If you're carrying something that you don't need to be carrying, if there's something that is burdening your heart that you don't need to be burdened with, and if it is not truly well with your soul, I invite you to come forward. You don't have to say anything. And then there's Val, and there's Charlene, and myself, and Mary, and several others. We will come around you, and we will pray over you. And friends, that's another way that we can serve one another. So I would invite you, as we sing this one last time before we close this morning, don't let this day go by. Take it, bring it up to the cross, and let us bless you by praying over you. Let us sing that one more time. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you for your mercy and for your love and for being a good God that yearns to give all of us rest. And Jesus, we thank you that it is your heart's desire that it would truly be well with each and every single one of our souls. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you for that. Thank you for this time to praise you and worship you and to glorify and to confess your holy name, for you are worthy. You are glorious and true. So, Lord, as we depart, may you bless our souls and may it truly be well, and may the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, just be imparted unto our very being. May we keep you close. May we bless you through the lives that we lead and as we interact and engage you in prayer. We pray this in the mighty, in the wonderful name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, as you depart, may you be blessed and be filled with the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, may you and I go in peace. Amen.